News Talk 830 WCCO, KMNB HD2, Minneapolis, St. Paul, a radio.com station.
ES News, presented by Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. An attempted coup is how Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger is describing what's happening at the Capitol right now. Protesters have stormed it while members of the House and Senate were tallying electoral college votes. They're now in gas masks, and there have been reports of shots fired inside the Capitol building. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to speak on the violence at any moment. We have team coverage on this breaking story, beginning with our chief congressional correspondent, Nancy Cordes.
Protesters have breached the Senate chamber itself, so they're no longer just inside the U.S. Capitol. They're actually inside the Senate chamber, which went into recess a few minutes ago when all of this started. And according to at least one reporter inside the chamber, a protester has actually climbed up on the dais and is chanting slogans in favor of President Trump.
CBS's Christina Ruffini is outside the Capitol, where police are being confronted by protesters who made their way to the Capitol after hearing President Trump speak during a rally earlier today.
You can hear the sirens behind me. Sorry, and that's an emergency alert on my phone, and now that just went through, announcing that D.C. is going into a 6 p.m. curfew.
Mr. Trump is tweeting asking for no violence, but our chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett says he struck a different tone during that rally just before the chaos erupted.
A threatening minority who are moving into the Capitol, quite clearly ignoring the suggestions and the orders from Capitol Police and other authorities, breaching barriers, going up steps, crashing through doors, or attempting to do that. That is an act of violence, and it is separate from those who are assembling peaceably to express their displeasure. But it must be noted that this is Americans trying to take control and lay under siege the Capitol, and you cannot separate their motives and their actions from the rhetoric of the president. He can talk about respecting Capitol Police now, but that's not what he was saying this morning, and it's not what he's been saying for weeks.
Correspondent Deborah Alfaron with more on what the president said today.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen.
President Trump spoke to the crowd and repeated his claims that Democrats stole the election.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany tweets that the National Guard is on its way to the Capitol along with other federal protective services. Virginia's governor says he is sending members of the Virginia National Guard along with 200 state troopers. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, chairman of the House Democratic Caucus, says the House does intend to return and continue certification of the election at some point today. The Dow right now is up 438 points. This is CBS News.
New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance, lasting two times longer than other blades. Only available at Walmart.
From the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk 830 WCCO, this is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
I'm Laura Oakes. It's 303 on CCO. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz keeping an eye on the situation in Washington, D.C. and in St. Paul today, as close to 500 supporters of President Trump showed up to protest at the state capitol as Congress began to certify President-elect Biden's election win.
I just want to take just a moment to assure Minnesotans that the situation here is calm and stable. I just was speaking in contact with Senate Majority Leader Gazelka, a man of honor, a friend, and the two of us are in absolute alignment that the sacredness of our democracy, the ability to disagree agreeably, is fundamental.
The governor also announcing some loosening of the state's COVID-19 restrictions today. Starting Monday, restaurants and bars can reopen for in-person service at 50% capacity, closing at 10 p.m. Other businesses like movie theaters and museums can reopen at 25% capacity. We have a complete rundown on our website at WCCORadio.com. This just in from Minneapolis police. They are expected to issue an Amber Alert shortly following an attempted kidnapping in Northeast Minneapolis earlier today. Spokesman John Elder says a woman and a three-year-old child were forced into a car at gunpoint following a domestic situation. More details coming out at a news conference later this hour. We're going to return to CBS News now for continuing coverage of the violence going on at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. It's 3:05.
Speaker's lobby, and in front of that door, those double doors, the security officials have placed a wooden piece of furniture, a very large bookcase as an attempt to barricade any of the protesters from trying to access the House chamber itself. We have seen pictures of protesters breaching the Senate chamber and, in fact, sitting in and seeming to desecrate the president's seat in the Senate chamber where the presiding officer sits with the gavel in hand and watches over the day's session of the Senate. So it's an unprecedented scene, certainly in the modern American history, unlike anything we have seen in our lifetimes, and we are now waiting for word as to what's going to happen next. In Wilmington, Delaware, as it happens, Vice President Biden has been expected to give remarks today. He was scheduled to speak on the economy, and in just a short while, we expect that the president-elect, who takes office 2 weeks from today, will come to the microphones in Wilmington and have, he'll express his thoughts on all this. We've already heard from the top Democrats in the House and Senate, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, who just a short while ago issued a joint statement calling on the president to demand that his supporters leave the Capitol. How it is that order will be restored so that the Congress can conduct its constitutional work here remains to be seen, but the words from Pelosi and Schumer, quote, "We are calling on President Trump to demand that all protesters leave the U.S. Capitol and Capitol grounds immediately." The president has had nothing to say today except for the remarks he gave at his rally earlier today, about noontime. For more than an hour, he spoke and told supporters.
And the Capitol Hill police sworn to protect them. And the public servants who work at the heart of our republic. An assault on the rule of law like few times we've ever seen it. An assault on most sacred of American undertakings, the doing of the people's business. Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America, do not represent who we are. What we're seeing are a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness. This is not dissent. It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end now. I call on this mob to pull back and allow the work of democracy to go forward. You've heard me say before in different contexts, the words of a president matter, no matter how good or bad that president is. At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite. And therefore, I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege, to storm the Capitol, to smash windows, to occupy offices, the floor of the United States Senate, rummaging through desks, on the Capitol, on the House of Representatives, threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest. It's insurrection. The world's watching. Like so many other Americans, I am genuinely shocked and saddened that our nation, so long the beacon of light and hope for democracy, has come to such a dark moment. Through war and strife, America's endured much. And we will endure here, and we will prevail again, and we'll prevail now. The work of the moment and the work of the next 4 years must be the restoration of democracy, of decency, honor, respect, the rule of law, just plain, simple decency, the renewal of the politics. It's about solving problems, looking out for one another, not stoking the flames of hate and chaos. As I said, America's about honor. decency, respect, tolerance. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. The certification the Electoral College vote is supposed to be a sacred ritual, which we affirm. The purpose is to affirm the majesty of American democracy. But today's a reminder, a painful one, that democracy is fragile, and to preserve it requires people of goodwill, leaders, the courage to stand up, who are devoted not to the pursuit of power, or the personal interest pursuits of their own selfish interest at any cost, but of the common good. Think what our children watching television is thinking. Think what the rest of the world is looking at. For nearly 2.5 centuries, we, the people, in search of a more perfect union, have kept our eyes on that common good. America is so much better than what we've seen today. Watching the scenes from the Capitol, I was reminded, as I prepared other speeches in the past, I was reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln in his annual message to Congress, whose work has today been interrupted by chaos. Here's what Lincoln said. He said, "We shall nobly save or merely lose the last best hope on earth." Went on to say, "The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just. A way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud and God must forever bless. The way is plain here, too. That's who we are. It's the way of democracy, of respect, of decency, of honor, and commitment as patriots to this nation. Notwithstanding what I saw today and we're seeing today, I remain optimistic about the incredible opportunities. There has never been anything we can't do when we do it together. And this God-awful display today is bringing home to every Republican and Democrat and independent in the nation that we must step up. This is the United States of America. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a thing we've tried to do that we've done it together. We've not been able to do it. So, President Trump, step up. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops and all those folks at the Capitol who are trying to preserve order. Thank you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Okay, that's President-elect Joe Biden with some brief remarks there on today's events at the U.S. Capitol. Biden, of course, very measured there, pleading for calm to prevail. Pleading for the president, the current president, President Donald Trump, to call this out. We have not seen that yet, other than some tweets from the current president asking for people to respect law enforcement and to remain calm. 313 News Talk 830 WCCO. We go back now to live continuous coverage from CBS News. This is WCCO at 314.
This is the United States of America. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a thing we've tried to do that we've done it together. We've not been able to do it. So, President Trump, step up. May God bless America. May God protect our troops and all those folks at the Capitol who are trying to preserve order. Thank you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Live from Wilmington, Delaware, President-elect Joe Biden, who will take the oath of office as President of the United States 2 weeks from today, calling on the current occupant of the office to, in his words, step up.
my safety, security, or the inauguration. I am not concerned. The American people are going to stand up and stand up now. Enough is enough is enough.
Joe Biden's parting words there to reporters as he called on the president to go on television now and demand an end to this siege, which he says is not protest, it's insurrection. CBS's Zach Hudak has been at the Capitol today. He was actually inside the House chamber at a time when he believes he heard gunshots. Zach Hudak, are you with us from Capitol Hill?
I am, Stephen. We are being held in a location that we were evacuated to from the House chamber. Toward the end, right before we and the representatives were taken out, you had what were presumably protesters on the other side of the main door to the chamber hitting it with something and really trying to knock it in. Security had put a large wooden chest in front of it and were kind of bracing themselves against it to keep it closed. And multiple Capitol Police were security had handguns drawn and pointed at the door ready. We're also told while we're in there that tear gas had to be deployed around the rotunda, and members and press were given these sort of temporary gas masks to wear, but on our evacuation route, we didn't come into contact with any of that. And the gunshot you mentioned, we've heard that there was a shot fired on the hill, and right before we were evacuated from the chamber, we heard what I could only imagine was that gunshot. Just a loud bang in the distance. But it seems that at the moment things are under control. Just a few minutes ago, by the room we're being held in, a series of decked out SWAT said guys in military attire came through fully armed, and but at least where I and staffers and employees and other press are being held, things seem safe for now.
All right, we're glad to hear that. Zach Hudak was in the House chamber when things really started to get very tense, and Zach was describing the scene that we have aimed to describe, which is a very famous photograph now. And Zach, you, we can say it, you illicitly took video, because video is not supposed to be taken inside the House chamber, but I think it would be a fair argument that the public interest requires it at times like this, of the doorkeepers and the sergeant-at-arms folks holding pistols at the door. Once more, Zach, can you describe how tense that moment was?
Well, it was really, Stephen, and there's a video I shot also that I think we've heard a little bit. You can actually hear the bang, 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 as I don't know what they're hitting it with, but, you know, it was sort of like out of a movie when there's a castle being seized and you take a battering ram to the door. It's what I imagine being on the other side of that is kind of like. And as I said, those handguns were out and pointed. I mean, I have to assume they were ready to fire if needed.
All right, Zach Hudak, thank you very much. Stay safe, and please check back with us if you have any more news. Zach Hudak, our CBS News reporter who was inside the House chamber this afternoon when the situation got quite tense, and he saw doorkeepers and sergeant-at-arms officials pointing pistols at the door that leads to the Speaker's lobby, as they also used some kind of large piece of wooden furniture to barricade the door to prevent any further breach. There's this news, which we need to report, from our CBS News election desk and the decision desk. When all of the votes are counted, CBS News estimates that in the runoff race in Georgia between John Ossoff and David Perdue, Ossoff, the Democrat, will win. Now, what that means is that we project that control of the Senate will now shift from Republican hands to Democratic hands in the 117th Congress. Once again, CBS News projects that in the Georgia Senate race, we projected overnight that Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, would defeat Kelly Loeffler, the incumbent, and now we report that John Ossoff will succeed David Perdue, having defeated that Republican in the second of the two runoff races in the Georgia Senate contest. You're listening to CBS News live coverage of the siege of Capitol Hill as the situation continues to unfold. CBS's Steve Dorsey is with us on Capitol Hill now. Steve, if you can hear me, where are you, and what's the situation from your position in the Capitol?
Hi, Stephen. I don't know how the internet is where I am, but I can tell you that I was near the House Gallery in the workspace for TV and radio correspondents when Capitol Police evacuated us along with the congressional press staff through the basement of the Capitol to a secure location. And okay. Stay here. I don't have the kind of view that I saw of the protesters, but it has been taken.
All right, Steve, stay with us, and let's listen together as we hear a video that has just been released by the White House of President Trump. Now, he seems to be standing in this video, which you just tweeted out, off the Rose Garden. So let's listen together.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
Those are the words from President Trump in a message directly to his supporters. I know your pain. I know you're hurt. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. He reiterated in this video his view that the election has been stolen from him. Of course, that is that's the subject of the debate now in Congress that his supporters interrupted and disturbed. The president says, quote, we can't play into the hands of these people. I'm not sure who he's referring to, but that was a message that obviously he intended for his strongest supporters who have besieged the Capitol to hear. The president was urged by his successor, by Joe Biden, who will be inaugurated 2 weeks from today, to, in Biden's words, step up. And he actually called on President Trump to go on television and demand an end to the siege. Biden said earlier this hour, it's not protest, it's insurrection. The president responded by saying to his supporters, you have to go home now. We have to have peace. In less than 2 hours, a curfew, which has been put in place by D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, is set to take effect. We understand from Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany that the D.C. National Guard has been deployed to take control of the situation on Capitol Hill, where hundreds of Trump supporters continue their protest. CBS's Steve Dorsey back with us again from Capitol Hill. And Steve, you were saying that you have been taken to a new location. You had been perched just above the House chamber in the House Radio and Television Correspondents Gallery, and now you are safely elsewhere. But what's the current tone on Capitol Hill? Are things still at a high point in terms of tension, or does it look like the situation's under more control now?
Well, from the inside, I can tell you that the police response has been very methodical. They're going room by room, knocking on locked doors, demanding entry, looking for any protesters, any violent demonstrators, any mobs that they might have missed. And we heard that directly from a Capitol Hill press officer and a police security person who was escorting us down Paul through the corridors, through many different corridors and escalators, as we made our way to this other location. They said that they believe most of the protesters are gone, but now they're searching for any that could have been left as they try to secure this whole complex.
And do you believe, Steve, that the situation is at least more stable inside, as best you can tell? I know it's difficult because you might not have. I know how large that Capitol complex is, and you don't have eyes on everything. But was it your sense that the situation is in hand now, or might it still? Is there the sense that you've been taken where you had to be relocated because of the fear that it might get more under control? That things might spiral out of control.
Yes, that's exactly right. And police told us they don't know, and they can't tell us when we might be able to return to our original locations. Many of us left things behind in a hurry by Capitol Police to escort us out of our work location immediately. And as we left, we passed by glass rooms in the basement, restaurants, the bank, the credit union, where people were still holed up inside. So they're obviously trying to get people off-site, and we know that lawmakers, many of them have tweeted it, that they're at secure locations. And this is all as perhaps a plan to completely lock down the entire perimeter of the Capitol. That way protesters, once night falls and once this curfew begins, can't make their way back in.
Well, here's one reason why perhaps police are really not ready to let the situation go back to a state of normalcy. CBS News is reporting through a law enforcement source that an explosive device was found in the vicinity of the Republican National Committee headquarters on Capitol Hill. Capitol Police and the FBI responded, and police rendered it safe. So essentially, there was some kind of explosive device. I don't want to use the word bomb per se, but some kind of device that was meant to explode that was found in the vicinity of the Republican National Committee headquarters, which are on the House side of Capitol Hill, just south of some of the House office buildings off New Jersey Avenue there. And the fact that this device was found, that the FBI and police responded, and that police rendered it safe, would indicate that it was at a moment not safe. And the fact is, in the wake of everything that's been going on in recent weeks, and you can think of the situation that occurred in Nashville on Christmas Day, it brings to mind the fact that the threat is real. We know through the fire and EMS department here in Washington that at least five people have been hospitalized with various injuries. One woman was shot and was said to be in critical condition when she was transported to a hospital. And we heard from Zach Hudak earlier, who said that he could hear from inside the House chamber the shots or shot being fired at a certain point. And House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said today that he heard something going on from his office, that he heard some kind of shot being fired, and that would indicate that there was something going on where obviously it was untoward and obviously violent. So that's the situation at this hour, as hundreds of people wave Trump flags, the Gadsden Don't Tread on Me flag, American flags as well, but to be sure, we've seen Confederate flags flying as these people continue to remain huddled together. It's really remarkable to note, on the platform that has been built for Joe Biden's inauguration to take place 2 weeks from today. And there's no indication that these people are ready to leave, despite the president saying in a video which he put out about 10 minutes ago that they have to go home now, that we have to have peace, that we, quote, can't play into the hands of these people. I suppose a suggestion on the president's part that his detractors or critics might in some way take some kind of political advantage from what is playing out on live television as the capital of the United States is under siege. Earlier today, the proceedings were interrupted in the House chamber and Senate chamber as well when members of this mob stormed the Capitol building and began to essentially take over the situation. It still continues to unfold. In fact, our Christina Ruffini, who is positioned outside the Capitol, on Capitol Hill, but outside the building, says she's starting to smell gas or smoke. Not sure what that would indicate or why, but that it's an indication that things are continuing to unfold before our eyes and ears at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's go to Jeff Pegues, who is part of our CBS television coverage up on Capitol Hill.
Calling for people to breach the Capitol. They think, some of them at least, think this is some sort of showdown, some sort of revolution. It's sort of odd to watch. They have it in their heads that this is their time to take back their house. That's what we've heard them say.
Is that chanting I hear behind you, Jeff?
There is some chanting. It's hard to make out. There is some chanting. Some of it, you hear them chanting about President Trump and other things that, frankly, we can't broadcast. So there is some chanting as well.
Yeah, we've got a pool feed that's popping around some images that I just want to show people, that you can see the Metro Police.
This is the fire department.
This looks like this was earlier.
And
this is the Senate entrance.
And you can see that's the type of police force that we have guarding the entrance.
Denora O'Donnell there on her CBS television coverage is describing very heavily armed Capitol Police officers in full riot gear, wearing gas masks and helmets with face shields, positioned in some of the same entrances where senators and members of the House of Representatives go in for work every single day. Let's go back to Capitol Hill. CBS's Steve Dorsey, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, sir. So we were describing the scene on Capitol Hill where hundreds of protesters remain outside despite the president's new admonition just in the last 15 minutes that they ought to go home. Do you have eyes on the crowd by any chance where you are?
I don't. I'm in a location on Capitol Hill where police escorted us that has no windows and really is closed off from most of the outside world. And this is a similar position that most of Capitol Hill is in now, with these key lawmakers huddling together in rooms that are guarded by police. We're in the same situation. Of course, I do get the same information reporting that you're getting. And it appears to be, at my last check just about 20 minutes ago, a very sizable crowd that was on the west front of the Capitol. And that number's tens of thousands. And police were not confronting them, I should say. They have pretty much, from most assessments, cleared the protesters from inside the building. But they have not been actively clashing with them, even as they climbed onto the scaffolding, this setup for the inauguration in just a couple weeks on the West Front. They're kind of staying on the perimeter and almost preparing for what could be that 6 p.m. curfew that we've been hearing about. Because one concern is keeping the Capitol secure, keeping the building secure, and preventing more of these people that are bent on violence from entering.
Steve Dorsey with a key point there on Capitol Hill, and that is that the hundreds of protesters who are gathered on the west front of the Capitol remain there essentially undisturbed. And you have to wonder whether the tactic of Capitol Police is to say that they may be outmanned. You know, it is not a very large force. It is a force of several, I believe it's several thousand police officers who are sworn to the Capitol Police Department. But they have responsibilities over a rather sizable swath of the city. It's not just the Capitol building itself, but also the House and Senate office buildings and the surrounding neighborhood up on Capitol Hill where many senior leaders live, and it also includes the Supreme Court building itself. The Supreme Court has its own police department, Steve Dorsey, go ahead.
I don't know if you can still hear me, but it's not necessarily that the entire area is even safe, because we've got reporting from Pat Milton that you might have already reported already, that a law enforcement source told her that an explosive device was found in the vicinity of the Republican National Committee headquarters. That's just a block or two away from the Capitol building here in D.C. Capitol Police, of course, and an FBI responded to that. Police rendered it safe, but that might have been what prompted those evacuations that we heard about earlier in the day from the Cannon office building, also on Capitol Hill, from part of the Library of Congress. So this this has put police in this area on alert because evacuating the Capitol building is one thing, but if they have to evacuate more locations on Capitol Hill, then that's a much more extensive and manpower-heavy effort that could divert resources away from, as you said, trying to manage those crowds on the West Front that outnumber that small Capitol Hill police force.
You know, it's interesting, Steve, just as we're talking about it, and I'm seeing live pictures of D.C. police, that is the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, and Capitol Police just beginning to slowly and gently nudge some of these protesters, demonstrators, off of the plaza just in front of, and, you know, basically the balconies of the Capitol. By the way, these are areas that are highly secure where tourists and people generally are not allowed to go, but they are there now, and some of them have even broken through windows and are climbing through the windows, so we have desecration of the Capitol building as well. The police officers who are responding to this, part of the D.C. Police Department, as we've mentioned, are wearing gas masks and have on riot gear, including face shields and helmets. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens next as the D.C. National Guard has been deployed. We have not seen, at least on television, any evidence of the D.C. National Guard arriving on the scene, but we have been reporting that the curfew in the city takes effect at 6 p.m. Eastern Time in less than 90 minutes. Steve Dorsey continues our coverage from Capitol Hill, where he was for this afternoon covering the debate in the House and Senate on whether to accept the Republican objections to the counts from states where the president has falsely claimed fraud. And it's been, as you know, a cause célèbre for the president. He rallied his supporters on the Ellipse today and said he would be joining them in the march that they undertook from the White House area to the Capitol, which is about a mile and a half walking distance. The president did not join the group, but he did say he would be with them. Now, today he has had to say that they should respect law and order and remain peaceful, and he, in the last 20 minutes, has put out a Twitter video in which he says, "I know your pain, I know you're hurt, but you have to go home now. We have to have peace." There has been round condemnation of this activity today from across the political spectrum. Supporters of the president have joined Democrats in condemning the violent demonstrations up on Capitol Hill. And let's listen as we get a recap of the situation from CBS News.
CBS News Special Report. President-elect Joe Biden just finished addressing the nation as a mob of pro-Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol.
America's so much better than what we've seen today.
It happened while members of the House and Senate were tallying electoral college votes for Mr. Biden.
Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America. Do not represent who we are. What we're seeing are a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness.
President Trump just out with a taped message on Twitter.
This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace.
The D.C. Fire Department says more than five people have been taken to local hospitals. One woman shot is in critical condition. CBS News Special Report. I'm Matt Piper.
And I'm Stephen Portnoy as we continue our CBS News coverage of the siege on Capitol Hill. D.C. police and Capitol police continue inching their way towards the west front of the Capitol, pushing protesters ever so gently as the police try to reclaim the Capitol complex. They're not using tremendous force. They are slowly walking essentially cajoling and urging the demonstrators to leave the scene. On the east front of the Capitol, that's the other side of the building, there continue to be large crowds, but it's not clear whether the effort is being similarly made, as I see it, on sort of the southern part of the building, as it looks like the tactic is for police to kind of sort of work their way around on the balconies to sort of clear the scene. What is best described, I guess, is just a blanket of people all across the plaza. It's not, it really looks like something out of the 60s in some respects, of the kind of sort of you know, live-ins or whatever you might have called them then, of protesters on this on the scene. But the defining feature of this protest is the number of Trump flags, which you also see, and the fact that they stormed the building and disrupted the activities of the House and Senate today. In fact, storming into the Senate chamber, and guns had to be drawn and in some cases fired today because of the violent situation. One of the leading lobbyists here in Washington, the president of the National Association of Manufacturers, has a statement. This is an organization that at times has been very much in the president's corner, defending and advocating for his policies. Jay Timmons, the president of the National Association of Manufacturers, says, quote, "Anyone indulging conspiracy theories to raise campaign dollars is complicit. Vice President Pence, who was evacuated from the Capitol, should seriously consider working with the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to preserve democracy." So there you have the head of one of Washington's leading lobby groups, the head of the National Association of Manufacturers, calling on Vice President Pence to work with the cabinet to remove the president. Well, that's something. CBS News projects this afternoon that the 117th Congress will feature Democrat control in not just the House, but also the Senate, with the election of John Ossoff to the now open seat with the expiration of the term of the incumbent Republican David Perdue. Earlier this afternoon, Norah O'Donnell spoke with Kevin McCarthy and asked the House Minority Leader for his take on the situation at the Capitol.
Do you condemn this violence?
I completely condemn the violence in the Capitol. What we're currently watching unfold is un-American. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. This is not what our country should look like. This is not who we are. This is not the First Amendment. This has to stop, and this has to stop now.
Have you spoken with the president and asked him to perhaps come to the Capitol and tell the supporters it's time to leave?
I've spoken to the president. I asked him to talk to the nation to tell him to stop this. This is not who we are. We are the beacon of freedom. We show democracy how we should act. We show the rest of the world, and this is not it. I don't know who in the crowd is doing this. I know there's good and bad. This has got to stop. This is unacceptable. What the Capitol Police have had to do, what the danger that has put other people in, the people are being hurt.
I can't believe, and I'm so glad you brought, our Capitol Police should not have to deal with this, and I know you care about them deeply. You said you spoke with the president. What did the president say he would do?
I know he had put a tweet out there. I told him he needs to talk to the nation. I told him what was happening right then. I mean, from what I watched in the Capitol, from the way you had to move within the Capitol, the rush that had to come in, the windows that were being broken. Listen, as a nation, everybody in this nation has got to take a deep breath and understand we're all Americans. We can disagree, but we do not do this. This is not who we are. This is
I hate to ask you this, but who do you think bears responsibility for this, for inciting this mob?
You know what? I think there's a combination. Anyone who's ever incited, anyone who's encouraged this. We can encourage to disagree. We can be passionate about our beliefs, but this is not where we go. This is not the best. This is not the best of who we are. I'm appalled by what I'm seeing happen right now.
And you think that it was just organic, that this protest just happened on its own?
No. If you watch some of the people, if you watch some of the things I watched in this Capitol, there are people inside here that have planned. There are people taking advantage. There are people that are getting over emotional. There are people that want to make America look like this. All I know is the Capitol Police should not have to be doing the number of Capitol Police we have. I can't thank them enough for protecting the number of members, the number of staffers. You know, in that building, there's a lot of young people. That is the people's house. What should have happened was the American public should be able to watch the debate, an honest, open debate, not what's going on right now.
Well, the question right now, as you listen to live CBS News coverage, is when the debate is going to continue and get underway back once again in the House and Senate chambers. CBS's Steve Dorsey, who's with us from Capitol Hill, was covering that debate on the objections to the Electoral College being, the Electoral college votes being counted in Congress. And Steve, walk us through what happened when the situation started to deteriorate as you were monitoring the debate.
You know, it was going according to plan, right? At 1 p.m., the vice president, who's the president of the Senate, convened this joint session of Congress, joined at his side by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and they were going through these sealed, recorded electoral voting records for each state. Alabama was first, and I think Alaska was next. And then they got to Arizona, and that was when we heard the first objection. And they went according to plan for Republicans. We heard the objection. The chambers, both of them, were dismissed to debate it amongst themselves. In the Senate, we heard Mitch McConnell, the current Senate Majority Leader, the soon-to-be Senate Minority Leader, really denounce this effort in a speech on the Senate floor, saying it's trying to disenfranchise voters. And then we heard from the Senate Minority Leader, soon to be Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, Ted Cruz, who supported this objection. And then I heard some commotion, some yelling in the hallway. Remember, we're on the third floor on the House side, in a workspace of radio and TV correspondents in the press gallery, one of the press galleries on Capitol Hill. And I walked into the hallway, which is lined with marble and mahogany, and then past those doors are the press galleries, those balconies that you see around the House chamber. And all of a sudden, I saw police locking those doors from the outside, yelling, radios going off. They told me to get back inside the workspace to secure the door. Then after a while, we heard the announcement that the press area was being secured. Everyone was locked in and due to stay in place. Then we heard some commotion through that white door that separates us from the hallway that then goes out. Commotion, clashes. It sounded like protesters were closing in on us, to be frank. And we heard those screams, those chants, those USA, USA chants coming through the corridors as police were almost trying to batten up the hatches like a hurricane was coming. And eventually it crescendoed outside the windows where we look onto the west front on these Capitol steps where thousands of protesters have entered. And we saw them swarm the setup, the construction area that had been installed for the inauguration. And we saw teams, dozens of them, of Capitol Police on bikes. They were removing their helmets, replacing them with what looked like gas masks, and then helmets, like a riot control helmet, and they filtered into the crowd. We saw smoke rising above the crowd, and we heard these bangs. Perhaps they were tear gas canisters or irritant or some kind of way to dissolve these crowds. But obviously, it appears that they had been overwhelmed on the West Front, and they are instead trying to focus on controlling what was going on inside. And then we saw those videos of what appeared to be a gunshot. We saw that photo from Zach Hudak, that CBS News producer inside the House gallery, taking a picture. An unusual moment when a reporter in 2021 is allowed to tweet and disseminate with their phone a communication with the outside world of photo and video, which is not allowed by House rules. But then again, shooting isn't covered by House rules either. And we heard that on tape, and then we saw reports on Twitter and social media of a video of a woman that apparently had been shot in the neck, and she was holding what appeared to be a Trump flag, perhaps at this door that had been barricaded by security members. So it's been a wild ride here. We've since then been taken to another part of the Capitol through the basement corridor, as has most of the staffers, journalists, and lawmakers inside this building.
Incredibly vivid depictions there from Steve Dorsey, our man on Capitol Hill, who has experienced it all this afternoon, just playing out in the last 3 hours or so. The siege of the Capitol by supporters of President Trump and a at times violent mob overtaking the House and Senate, breaching the Senate chamber and interrupting the proceedings provided for by the Constitution and the laws. Here in Washington, the mayor, Muriel Bowser, has declared a curfew at 6 p.m. And here is the audio of what D.C. residents are hearing as they're receiving phone calls from the mayor.
This is an emergency alert. Mayor Bowser issues a citywide curfew for D.C. for Wednesday, January 6th, starting at 6 p.m. until Thursday, January 7th at 6 a.m. Essential workers, including healthcare personnel and media, are exempt.
So that's the official word from the mayor's office about the curfew that takes place at 6 p.m. tonight. Steve Dorsey, you have been covering some of the unrest that's occurred here in the nation's capital for most of the last 9 months. Think about some reflections now on the scene unfolding today up on Capitol Hill.
Shock and awe, I think, Stephen. I've covered violent anti-government protests in places like Istanbul, Turkey, against an authoritarian regime. In Moscow, Russia, marching against the Kremlin. And never have I imagined that what we report overseas, protesters storming into parliament buildings, whatever happened in Washington, D.C., especially in an area that is so closely controlled and guarded by police. Even when I entered today, I had to, many of the roads were closed. So even to get to the Capitol, I had to walk several blocks from where I was dropped off and show my security and Capitol Hill press badge to several layers of security. I had to go through like a TSA-style airport checkpoint once it even got into the doors of the Capitol, and then I had my ID with me on at all times. It was very difficult to get in. So to imagine the number of protesters and the force that was needed to overcome the first line of defense, which is Capitol Hill police, and enter this building is, I think, a sadly historic day for this country.
I think you're right, Steve Dorsey, as you continue our coverage from Capitol Hill. As it happens, and this is a really remarkable fact, Tammy Duckworth, who's the Democratic senator from Illinois, says on CBS News television coverage now that she saw a quick-thinking Senate aide grabbing copies of the Electoral College certificates before senators were evacuated from the chamber. Let's listen to Senator Tammy Duckworth on CBS TV.
Are all of you able to see what's happening outside the Capitol, what we're broadcasting right now?
Yes, we have a couple of channels up, and we have three big televisions that are playing the news right now.
Well, Senator Duckworth, what we see, of course, is, as you know, sunset in just about 10 minutes from now. We see a number of the Metro D.C. police. We've been told that additional National Guard have been approved by the Pentagon, by the Secretary of the Army, that Maryland and Virginia are also willing to assist. Do you have any understanding to the senators with you about how they're going to move and disperse this crowd?
Well, we are getting a briefing in 20 minutes or so from the Capitol Police. They're coming in the room and giving us a briefing. My understanding is that they're working on clearing the Capitol right now and that we are just holding tight. Again, we want to make sure that we've tracked down all the staff members that are here and everybody is secure. I will tell you that coming over here with the team that brought me over, we certainly went past quite a large number of Capitol Police, as well as some uniform National Guard personnel who are already on location, and that we are as safe as we can possibly be where we are at right now. But all that we're seeing on TV right now is just what's being broadcast, which is, I think, it's video footage from earlier in the day, because it's showing that people are, walking around through the Capitol Rotunda and the like, and we're watching Mayor Bowser's briefing, and I think his Secretary of the Army is speaking right now, so we're watching that as well.
Major Garrett is with me. Senator, thank you for your time, and he has a question as well.
Senator Duckworth, Major Garrett, I know in the Capitol there are two families, the House family and the Senate family. I know you're all one big family today, but are you aware of anyone in the Senate family, member or staff, who was injured in this fracas?
I'm not aware of anyone who was injured. Everybody here seems to be fine and in good spirits. We are ready to get going again, and And I think people are just anxiously awaiting to make sure indeed is safe and that we can get going. And I think I saw the attending physician was walking around making sure and checking up on everybody as well, both our services and staff members.
But best case scenario, when do you think the Senate might reconvene? Tonight?
Tonight, definitely. I mean, that is what I would like, and that's what I have expressed to our leadership. It's also what as I said, Democratic senators are on a group check together, and we express that to our job caucus for this purpose. I don't know what the Republican senators are saying. I've not seen Senator McConnell to approach him, but I do know that the Democrats want to keep going with the process.
Senator, I must ask you about the culpability of what has led us to this moment. We spoke earlier with the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, urging supporters of the president to go home. He said he'd called the president and asked the president to address the nation, who recorded a short message still claiming that the election was fraudulent, and then saying, time to go home now. Where do you place the blame?
The blame for this is Donald Trump. He is the one that has been spreading conspiracy theories, falsehoods. He is the one who is pressuring governors of states like Georgia and secretaries of state of states like Georgia to find him missing votes. He is the one that is rejecting the results of this election, which have been certified by all 50 governors. It is this president who has incited his supporters to this violence. And even as he did just now spend barely a minute telling people to go home, he continued to spread lies about the election. This is Donald Trump's fault. He is truly responsible for this today, and it is shameful. I have never in my entire adult life, serving both first in the Army and now in the legislative branch, would ever imagine it is the President of the United States of America who would be the one to incite violence and have people storm the steps of the United States Capitol. Never would I imagine that this could possibly happen, but it did today. But you know what? Democracy will prevail. We will not be deterred by this unruly mob. We will continue to move forward and follow the guidance of our Constitution and make sure that we carry out the will of the American people. And then we need to get to work, and we need to come together, Democrats and Republicans, and get help to working families and fight this pandemic and get our economy moving again. And we can only do that together as partners. But we have to get through tonight first.
Senator Duckworth, stand by. I want to ask our control room as well to put up in a banner that the D.C. mayor is not only ordering, but enforcing a 6 p.m. curfew. I think the news plays an important role as well in giving out factual information. And it's our understanding as well that what is being broadcast right now outside the Capitol via megaphone is you will be arrested if you are outside after 6 p.m., that is part of the method that our law enforcement is using now, this hour-long by a bullhorn, 6 p.m. curfew, you will be arrested. What have the Capitol Police been telling you, Senator?
They've told us that they are working on carrying the Capitol, and that was the last briefing that we received about 15 minutes ago. That, as far as I know, is that they are working to clear the Capitol at this time.
Senator Duckworth, again, Major Garrett, I know you might not have been briefed on this, but I'm just curious, since we have you, a very good source of mine, very connected on all things Capitol Hill, just texted me and said that the word is that the House is going to go into session, but not in the House chamber, but in the Ways and Means Committee Room, which is a very large facility that might, in fact, be large enough for a socially distanced reconvening of the House. Have you heard anything along those lines? Would that surprise you?
That would not surprise me. I'm familiar with that House chamber, having served in the House myself, and I urge my House colleagues to please do go back into session. And I hope that that will be an indication that Senator McConnell will call us back into session here where we are located. We are in a very large room ourselves, but there's absolutely no room, and there's not much social distancing going on at this point in time. We all have our masks on, of course, but we are pretty tightly gathered together here, but it is the best condition we possibly can, and we are all safe, and we want to continue. So that's good news indeed if the House does go in back into session, because I would like the Senate to go back into session as well.
You know, Senator, on that very point, this morning, before tens of thousands, Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump Jr. Were the warm-up acts for the president, and Rudy Giuliani called for trial by combat. The president's son, Don Jr., told congressmen who weren't going to vote to overturn the election, quote-unquote, we're coming for you. How important is it for members of Congress to not act or show that their duty has been delayed or rather stopped because of that rhetoric and the actions of this mob?
I think it is paramount that we continue to move forward with our democratic processes and that we carry out our duties. I think it is very important, not just for our nation and our democracy, but for the world to see that in America, nothing will stop the democratic process from moving forward, and that the will of the people will be carried out, and that we here in the Senate and in the House will not be deterred by mobs.
Senator Tammy Duckworth with our CBS News colleagues Nora O'Donnell and Major Garrett and Ed O'Keefe there, describing how it's the hope and objective of leadership in the House of Representatives and the Senate to reconvene to continue the constitutionally required process of counting the electoral votes, a process that was disrupted today as a result of the at times violent mob that has besieged the U.S. Capitol here in Washington. It's 5 o'clock here in the East, and I'm Stephen Portnoy.